Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. Since the war in Ukraine began, the EU has stressed that enlargement towards the east is a security priority. Well, the geopolitical context has just become a lot more complicated for the EU. With Donald Trump's dramatic victory in the US election, Ukraine is, of course, a candidate country to join the EU. But how far will that process go if Trump ends the war on unfavorable terms for Kyiv? And where does Trump's return to power leave the EU enlargement process more generally, given the political turmoil in Georgia and in Moldova? Well, to discuss all this, I'm joined by Romanian MEP Nicolae Ștefănuță. He's a vice president of the European Parliament and a substitute on the delegation to the EU Moldova Parliamentary Association Committee, and he sits with the group of the Greens. Welcome to you.
Hello.
I'm also pleased to welcome Bulgarian MEP Christian Vigenin from the Socialists and Democrats, and he's on the delegation to the EU North Macedonia Joint Parliamentary Committee and a substitute on the EU Moldova Parliamentary Association Committee. Welcome to you as well. So, gentlemen, first on this dramatic news from the United States and the political comeback of Donald Trump, what do you think it means for Ukraine's progress towards the EU, perhaps first,
Chris? Well, I wouldn't make a direct link because I believe that the victory of Trump means an opportunity for Europe to start thinking more about our own unity, about our own security, about taking more responsibility for our economic development, relying less on the transatlantic relations. That's what Trump wants. And I think that might be beneficial for Europe at the end. So from that point of view, it's still to be seen what will be the approach of Trump towards the conflict in Ukraine. But I don't think that whatever happens in the United States will somehow interfere with the process of accession of Ukraine towards the EU.
Do you think it has an impact, Nicolae Ștefănuță?
Certainly.
Or could?
Does. It's certainly important, it's certainly consequential. I agree in part with my co-speaker today. But what I do see a bit maybe differently is that we do depend on the United States. It's a reality. So it's important for us to keep having good relations with the United States, with the current administration, with the new administration. And that might sound surprising for coming from a Green. I have very strong progressive values. But here we are. We are in this world. Trump is elected. He has the confidence of the majority of the Americans. And Americans are not bad people. They are Western people, open people. So we have to try to find a modus vivendi with this reality, because I'm afraid Europe is not ready yet. I wish it were ready, but Europe is not ready yet in terms of security to stand on its own 2 feet.
And since we are going to talk about Moldova and Georgia a little bit, do you think that the political forces in those countries, which the EU considers to be pro-Russian or friendly towards Russia, are they boosted by his victory? And if so, how?
Well, obviously, the pro-Russian forces, not only in those countries but elsewhere, believe that the victory of Trump should or probably would lead to easing the tension between US and Russia, maybe a more favorable approach of United States towards Russia. But it's still to be seen, as I said. Nevertheless, the long-term strategy of the EU is very clear with regard to the accession, to the enlargement of the European Union. And I don't think that our efforts should be somehow dependent on what happens in the United States or in Russia. We need to proceed to speed up this process, as we did in the past 1 or 2 years. So that should be the encouragement to all those who want pro-European countries based on European values. We should encourage those who are in favor of that and maybe care a bit less on those who want to somehow to project a different future for those countries.
Well, Nicolae Ștefănuță, of course, you've talked a lot in your parliamentary work here about what you've termed, and not only you, foreign interference in Moldova in the referendum on the constitutional changes and also in the presidential election, which President Sandu has mentioned as well. What do you think this new transatlantic dynamic, does it have some sort of possible impact on all that?
No. With America, we agree on the process of enlargement. And also, it is our own process in the end, no? Yeah. I mean, America is not going to join Moldova as the 51 state or something.
Sure.
But Moldova might join the EU because that's where it's naturally at ease. That's where the economy is. That's where its people are. There's millions of Moldovans in the EU working normal jobs. And they're very European citizens. So it is a natural process. We should all be worried, Americans and Europeans, on the fact that the Russians have tried to steal the elections for Maia Sandu, no? With money, with $130 million that were paid in checks via apps, mobile apps. So it's very concerning, no? If we start buying elections and things like that. So I'm very, actually, what Maia Sandu did is very, very brave. And we should return the favor. The European Union should be careful about the Moldovans because it created expectations. So now we have to deliver.
I want to turn our attention briefly to the Western Balkans. Croatia, of course, already an EU member, and five countries have candidate status: Albania, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Montenegro, North Macedonia, and Serbia. Kosovo applied to join the EU in December 2022. And gentlemen, we also have had this EU enlargement package that's been published by the European Commission. I wonder what your thoughts are on the process of integration of these countries I mentioned, and particularly if you look at what the European Commission says, it talks about North Macedonia and Albania needing to make more progress, particularly on the fundamentals cluster, so things like the judiciary, corruption and organized crime and so forth. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we both come from countries which are very much supportive towards the enlargement of the Western Balkans. That's important for us because as soon as those countries become part of EU, then we'll be fully integral part also of the European Union, as countries, I mean. However, we see that there are shortcomings which needs to be addressed. Some of them are related to issues that are very common to all the countries in the region, as you mentioned, corruption, organized crime. Some others are related to steps that those countries have to take. They are more political in the case of North Macedonia, for example. They still need to change their constitution to include Bulgarians in the constitution. That was agreed 2 years ago. They need to do that. As soon as they do it, then they can start their negotiations. That's very clear, and I hope that the government and the majority in parliament will find a way to take this step.
How's the integration process going from your point of view of the Western Balkans? Can we generalize or we have to really pick a specific countries?
Yeah, you have to pick specific countries, but there's also some generalization to be made. Look, long story short, we all should be in the European Union. We all should be there, including the Western Balkans. It's the natural space. It's not natural that China is present in some of the countries while we are not. It is not natural. But to get there, the countries need to be serious and be united on this. When Romania joined, we had a national consensus. Even the far extreme right party was in favor of European integration. The entire Romanian political class was. Whether it was for, you know, self-interest or whatever, doesn't matter. But they had a clear path. And I'm sure Bulgaria had a clear commitment because we kind of knew it was our last train, no? Yeah. And it truly was. So the same needs to happen. And it depends whether you are in Bosnia, whether you are in Montenegro, whether you are in Macedonia, what the realities are. Now, the poor Macedonians, I know for the Bulgarians it's a huge, important topic, but I hope they do this last constitutional change because they've had several. They've had several. They've changed the name of the country. They changed many things.
Yeah.
So in the end, I think you know, we also have to be more forthcoming towards them. Yeah. And do another thing. We also have to prepare our public, because I'm not sure if our public knows that integration's on the table, and they should know, because otherwise they will reject it.
That's a good point. Is our public, general public, are they aware of the sacrifices, the pressures on EU budget cohesion and all of this kind of thing?
I think yes, but nevertheless, we understand the benefits of those countries being part of the European Union. Of course, it's also true that the EU should also prepare to have more members, because you see already that we have some difficulties in the functioning of the institutions because of the big number of countries, the way we operate now. But still, I mean, it's a process. We do our job on our side. They have to do theirs. And it's true also that, in my opinion, we should forget about those groupings of countries. Okay, it's Western Balkans, but countries have different progress. They have to access the Union as soon as they are ready and not to wait for other countries to get prepared. That's my position, and I think it's fair, because if you're ready, you need to be able to join and not to wait others to get ready, no? That's fair, and that's a way to encourage countries to do more, because if they do more, they will get there quickly.
A merit-based approach, indeed.
Absolutely.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much to both of you, Nicolae Stefanuta and Christian Vigenin. And, of course, we'll have a lot more coming up on our programs about Donald Trump's victory and the impact on the EU and, of course, the rest of the world. Do stay with us here on France 24.